Welcome back to Meet in the Lobby. This is the podcast where hospitality meets innovation.
I'm Dorian Murphy.
And I'm Melissa McCormack. So, Dorian, let's get things started, right? There have been a lot of twists and turns in the hospitality industry lately. What's one thing that has reminded you how much you love the industry?
You're right. So many twists and turns. And when I get to thinking about that, right, why I love the industry, it takes me back to something that happened earlier this week. So, you know, the hospitality industry is so small. And I oftentimes get calls from folks who I've worked with yesteryear just to check up on one another. And one of these calls was about someone needing an opportunity. And so I feel really awesome about the fact that I'm far enough along where I can make an impact in connecting somebody with an opportunity. And it's really based off of the work we did with one another, I mean, way earlier in my career, and that we see enough in one another to still respect the recommendation. You know, one thing I love about the industry is, you know, the connectivity, right? And then there's always opportunity, even during a time where it seems like in certain sectors of career growth, there isn't as much.
Absolutely. And mine's kind of along the same theme as yours. You know, there's the people, right? I was just at a dinner party and there were some hoteliers and some restaurateurs there, and they always have the best stories, the craziest stories about their experiences in the hospitality industry. I think you and I could probably do an episode on that alone. I don't know that a vendor would allow us, but I think it would be a very interesting episode. But the true answer to that is, I think it's the unwavering focus on that guest experience. You know, you look at everything that impacts the industry and how adaptive it needs to be. But the constant is always, how do we improve our guest experience? Or, especially when we're looking for cost savings, how can we ensure the guest experience isn't impacted? So that ties in today's episode. We're going to be talking a little bit about leadership, and not really the buzzword kind.
Yeah, it's really about leadership and what it actually looks like inside of kitchens and restaurants and multi-unit operations on busy nights and, oh Lord, understaffed days. Whew.
Scary times. But our guest today has actually lived every stage of that journey in hospitality, you know, even starting out on the line at only 15 years old.
Ooh, okay. And over the course of her career, she's helped open 13 restaurants, worked across almost 50 locations. She's authored 2 leadership books and sparked some very real conversations about burnout in our industry.
And we are incredibly excited to welcome Kristen Marvin, the founder of Columbine Hospitality and a fellow podcaster. So, Kristen, welcome to the podcast.
Thank you so much for having me. I'm so excited to have this conversation with you today.
No, absolutely. And before we dive into the good stuff, I want to bring you into the conversation Dorian and I were having a little bit earlier. So what's one thing that reminds you why you love the hospitality industry?
This is very timely. We just had a quarterly meeting with one of our clients that we've been working with for a couple of years, and they are a multi-unit group. They have 4 locations and they're expanding to 10 over the next few years here. When we started working with them 2 years ago, they hadn't identified a regional manager yet, and they had an AGM that had really high potential. And the owner said, would you help create the systems and build the foundation we need to be able to grow this business, consistently great guest experience, but would you take this leader from AGM to GM to regional? I think she's got what it takes. And she's 26. She's absolutely extraordinary. And to watch the growth that they have all worked on and built together over the last 2 years into this quarterly meeting where we spent 4 hours celebrating the wins, which we don't do enough of in this industry, and watching them go from 0 leadership development or leadership training, 0 systems around how to measure their cost of goods and recipe consistency, and building a bench of talent to all those things being in place now and them being able to set themselves up to be ready for the growth that they want and to be able to celebrate all of those accomplishments with them this week was magical. Like, I'm still getting goosebumps from it, but it's just, that's where the magic is. And I think we talk a lot about challenges so much, especially in the industry today, and to see the groups that are leading with intention around people and their business and setting themselves up for growth in the right way is, that's why we do what we do.
Oh gosh, that is so amazing. And I think you're right. I think there could be more celebration around what we are doing right internally. You know, that guest experience is what everybody's working towards. So that's a byproduct of, in my opinion, that celebration that you were just talking about. So that's good stuff. It's got to be a super rewarding experience for you to be able to participate in that with not just this client, but with so many other clients that you manage. To set the stage for our listeners, can you tell me a little bit about your culinary and hospitality journey and what first inspired you to enter the world of hospitality?
Like Melissa said earlier, started as a, you know, like a lot of people do. First job was in the kitchen at 15. Fast forward through high school and college, I got a job at the Broadmoor Hotel when I was in college, and they were just opening up a cocktail bar that they were remodeling. They were putting $1 million into it. It had a beautiful story. You know, the hotel was built in 1918, and hoteliers from all over the U.S. came to the opening of the hotel and spent time in this bar. And so they really revitalized the bar with the picture of the hoteliers on the wall and the story that we could tell the guests. So I started to learn in my early 20s how important storytelling was to hospitality and to guest connection. And I fell in love with that. And then working in a 5-star, 5-diamond resort, I learned the art of never having to say no to the guests. I was thinking about this yesterday. There were times where I would be fully dressed in my uniform, purple polyester from head to toe, in the middle of summer, pantyhose and heels on, guys, running across the lake to go get a bottle of wine that a guest from the bar wanted that they had enjoyed the night before in the restaurant across the lake that we didn't have. And I would go get security to unlock the restaurant, give a bottle of wine. And I kind of looked like a nun running across the bar or running across the lake with a bottle of wine in my hands, which was kind of a funny sight. And, so it was the opportunity to be able to go above and beyond to create experiences like that for the hotel. And that journey for me turned into 5 years of learning how to study wine and becoming a sommelier, learning how to, you know, we worked with master mixologists from New York to create this beautiful craft cocktail program based on classic cocktails that people hadn't really seen yet in that market. And I got to work for my mentor, one of my mentors who worked for Danny Meyer. So I got to watch setting the table come to life in the restaurant that we opened at the hotel. And so being able to learn all these different things really aided my development and fed my curiosity and my hunger and my drive. In my mid-20s, I was like, this is what I want to do for the rest of my life. I graduated college. I ran to the food and beverage director and said, how do I do this forever? And that really started my journey into this business.
That is an incredible story. And you know what I love about it? I can feel the passion you still have for the industry. Yeah,
totally.
You know, Dorian and I always joke, it's in our blood, right? Once you're in operations, it's really in our blood. But you did say something, mastering the art of not saying no, right? That is an absolute art to be mastered. It's so crucial to the guest experience. Yeah. Now, with that said, so many operators still believe that they have to personally solve these 4-alarm problems or these fires every day. So I'm curious to hear your perspective. You know, what does leadership or a leadership team actually need in place, right? Systems, trust, accountability, for an operation to run really well when an owner or founder isn't physically in the building?
Yeah, I mean, it is the $1 million question, right? What's the framework here? What's the blueprint? Mm-hmm. It all starts with the right people. We know as operators that when we don't have the right team around us, we get drawn into working hourly positions or being on the floor, being on the line all the time. And we are constantly in the business instead of being able to pull back and work on the business and strategize and grow ourselves and being able to develop ourselves in the way that we want to. And so first and foremost, it's about finding the right people. I was just having this conversation with a client who this morning, who's going through a rebuild. You have to know first and foremost who the right person is to have in that leadership position. So we work a lot with clients on defining the core values of their business so they understand what they want from a cultural perspective, what type of leadership they're actually looking for, and then how to define those core values into behaviors that they want to see constantly showing up in the business, whether it's curiosity, integrity, taking responsibility for your actions, being a good problem solver, right? Empowering your people, knowing how to delegate. So once you've identified exactly what type of leader you're looking for and what type of hourly person you want in your business, then you know how to find that target audience and start to look for them. And there's a lot of rumors and mindset going around the industry right now that you can't find good people anymore. And I just cannot shout from the rooftops enough. It's not true. I just told a story of there are so many people, amazing people out there. So it's about taking time to clearly identify what you want and then take time to go find those people that are going to fit with your. Once you do that, that gives you permission to set up all the systems that you want, to invest in tech, create all these good structures for your business so that you can scale sustainably.
Heck yeah. I am just such a big frameworks guy. And the way that you just put it is, okay, we have this role. What are you looking for? Not just in this role, right? There's a framework around the core pillars of what that job function does, but you have to set up what your core tenets are as an organization so that those can be aligned in the role. And then you find the right fit, because at the end of the day, it's the worst thing when you have a core value that doesn't resonate with someone, and that builds the resentment inside of them. And then that makes them not a good fit. And it's not necessarily that they're not a good worker or a good associate, but they just don't align with what the values are. I love that so much. So we're talking about designing the appropriate frameworks and the appropriate maybe job description to attract the right talent. But the labor pressure hasn't gone away. It's changed a little bit. From a leadership perspective, what's different now about why people stay or leave the hospitality industry compared to even 5 or maybe 10 years ago?
6 million people left the industry after the pandemic or during the pandemic. Those positions have been filled, but they've been filled with people that have a lot less experience. Mm. You know, we lost a lot of great institutional knowledge during the pandemic, and a lot of people retired, or a lot of people said, I'm going to work from home, or they're going to start their own businesses, or whatever the case is, right? So the difference now is that you've got these new people coming in that don't have any experience in the industry, and they're challenging the culture. And they're challenging the work-life balance, they're challenging the workload, and they're setting boundaries. And the operators that are leaning into all that stuff are being really successful. And the old school ones that are like, why don't you want to work over 40 hours a week? Why won't you take your schedule home and work on it after you get done with work? That's causing tension. And so it's really that, you know, the workforce is asking for something different and challenging the industry to be better. And for those that are saying yes, they're able to retain those people. And the ones that are saying no, they're continuing to see turnover. That's really, they're calling for better benefits. They're calling for better quality of life. They're calling for something that is not unreasonable, but it just hasn't been done in a very, very long time. And it's causing some really beautiful friction.
Oh, beautiful friction. Yes.
I love that.
You know, this next generation is challenging us to be better, right? Mm-hmm. And that goes with the industry and how we need to adapt. And it's not just to customer or guest needs. It's to internal needs as well. Yeah. So that's really fascinating. And speaking about adapting, one thing that Dorian and I hear quite a bit, because we specialize in the hotel industry or the hotel portion of the hospitality industry, is hotel restaurants, right? They can really struggle to stand out. And oftentimes they're kind of seen as amenities for guests instead of a true destination.
Yeah.
And so from your perspective, what does it take, both operationally and culturally, for a hotel restaurant to shine and be a place that's a destination for locals or even people staying at other hotels?
Yeah, I think it's about, and maybe this is controversial to say, but I'm going to lean into it.
Oh, lean in. I'm here. Oh,
let's go. Drop the tea. Let's do it.
Having an independent mindset from a business owner, running a hotel offers, or a hotel restaurant has so many wonderful perks of the marketing. You get the marketing behind the hotel, you get the hotel guests, you get the maintenance package, you get the cleaning crew. You've got all these wonderful things which allow you time to focus on developing your team and investing in the guest experience every single day to make sure it's magical. However, you can't take that stuff for granted. You have to continuously think about, from a mindset perspective, how do we be the best restaurant? And not just in the hotel, but in the city. How do we offer a guest experience and a wine list and a beverage program and build connections with people so that when they say they're going out to dinner, we're the only thought that pops into their mind, right? Competition has always been there. It's always going to be there. So it doesn't matter if you're in a building, if you're a standalone restaurant, it's about setting really high expectations for yourself and your team of how you can show up and constantly be operating from a place of how do we get 1% better every single day? And how do we take care of our staff and have that same level of attention of, we're going to offer a really great guest experience, but we're going to offer an equally great employee experience.
Do you hear that silence, Melissa? That silence it's just, oh my God, it's seeping into my soul what you're saying. It's just so excellent. And I had a couple thoughts as you were speaking. And I wonder quickly what your take is on promoting a hotel restaurant independently versus having it packaged along in the promotion as a restaurant, as a part of a hotel. Do you see that one way is better than the other? Is it, you know, based on regionality? What do you think about that?
That's a very interesting question. I think promotion, first and foremost, again, starts with the quality of the output in the four walls. That's really what comes to mind when we think about promotion. You may be thinking, you know, from a target market perspective, or, you know, social media, or I think you can do both and exist, but I think it again depends on the clarity of what the vision is for that hotel and what the vision is for the restaurant, making sure that those things are aligned and then building a marketing plan around that. So it seems there is cohesiveness there, right?
Absolutely. Mm-hmm. You know, Dorian and Kristen, in thinking about this, there have been a lot of hotel restaurants, we'll say, that have been successful and stand out. I will go to some as my destination, but it's because of what you said. It's the quality of the output within those four walls, mm-hmm. right? You know, a lot of times you used to think of hotel restaurants and they had hamburgers, grilled cheese, you know, your Cobb salad and some of the others, right? And we've seen now that, and I'll even say over the past decade or so, a really interesting growth in culinary adventure, right? It's more of an experience, and the restaurants that reside within hotels are really adopting that. So I hope to see more destination restaurants that happen to have their four walls within a hotel.
Oh yeah, I agree with that. I agree with that so much. I just had a burger someplace and I'm like, what am I doing? What am I doing? That it wasn't a destination experience at all. Kristen, thank you so much for joining us.
Yeah, we're going to continue this conversation in our next episode. This time, though, we'll be focusing on burnout, leadership strategies that are sustainable for the long term, and what the future of hospitality looks like.
Ah, super juicy. We'll see you next time on Meet in the Lobby.
Thanks for meeting with us today. Interested in becoming a member of Avendra's Procurement Services? Scan the QR code on the screen or visit us at www.avendra.com to inquire. To learn more about Avendra International and the latest hospitality news and trends, follow us on LinkedIn at Avendra International. Meet in the Lobby is a production from Avendra International. Special thanks to our executive producers, Dorian Murphy, Melissa McCormack, Corey Moriarty, Eleanor Waddell, and Lindsay Garbacek, and our production partners, Market Scale. To learn more, click the link in the description.